Well, we have a really deep schedule today, so we will jump right in. House Bill 1059, an act to revise certain provisions concerning property classifications and assessment appeals.
Mr. Chair, as long as I'm right here, Senator DeHuick, I think, will pitch this bill. It's a bill that came through in response to some emails that we received from some constituents around the state. And Senator DeHuick is very familiar with this process, and I hope not to become nearly as familiar with that. So I would turn that over to Senator DeHuick at this point.
Senator DeHuick.
And I do have an amendment that maybe I'll pitch. The original bill did not include those or address the consolidated assessment process. So I'll pass that off, if I might, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cheers.
Anytime you're ready, Senator.
I need the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Senator Diedrich's right. We were contacted last year after session, I think, by somebody out of Deloitte & Touche out of Minneapolis who has clients here in South Dakota that lease land, ag land, and they farm it. And there was confusion at the county level with regard to the appeal process and who can actually appeal the assessed value of real property. And some of the counties have, probably all of the counties, have taken the position that the landowner has to appeal. The owner of the property is the only the owner or their agent or their maybe even their attorney can represent them and appeal the assessed value. And in many instances in South Dakota, we have situations where the land is being leased to a tenant, and the tenant, in fact, is the person who actually pays the property tax as part of the lease agreement. And oftentimes, the owner is an absentee owner, where they've maybe retired and they've moved to Arizona, and they've pretty much turned the operation of the farm or the ag land over to the tenant to take care of. And the tenant would like to be in a position to actually file the appeal on the assessed value. It would be the tenant who is getting the assessment notices, and the tenant who is really more on top of the situation than even the owner. And so the counties have taken the position that the tenant is not does not have standing to appeal the assessed value. This bill, 1059, even though it seems relatively long, it accomplishes that. It specifically would allow a lessee to assume the owner's position in terms of filing an appeal of the assessed value. It also addresses a problem with regard to when that appeal is perfected. A few years ago, the legislature clarified the perfection of an appeal at the state level, at the OHE level, by saying that if you submit your appeal in writing and you put it in the mail on the deadline, on the due date, the postmark then is indicia of perfection. In other words, your appeal is good, even though the director doesn't get it until the next day or the next day or whenever. As long as the written appeal is postmarked on the due date, you're okay. And that has solved a lot of problems at the state level. Now what we're trying to do is, thank you, is that same situation for the county level appeals, because some of the counties have taken the position to date that unless they get that written appeal on the due date, it's not perfected. This would allow a property owner or a tenant to put it in the mail on that date, have it postmarked that date, and it would be all right. So that, essentially, Mr. Chairman, is what the bill does. I'd be happy to answer any questions. I know Senator Diedrich has an amendment.
Any questions from the committee? Yes, Senator Moore.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator DeHue.
Yeah, well, two things. I'm sure the tax bill goes to the owner, unless the owner has made an arrangement with the county treasurer to send it to his tenant. But my suspicion is that, no, it goes to the owner. But we're not talking about tax bills in this House Bill 1059. We're talking about assessment notices, and the same may be true with regard to assessment notices.
Thank you.
Yes. Further questions from the committee? Senator DeHuick, I'm just certainly not the expert either on this that you are, but as long as we're clarifying, does a reference just to taxpayer take care of all the other potentials from guardians, conservators, trustees, power of attorneys, I mean, the whole gamut, who may not be either an owner or a taxpayer, but yep, might be the one in position?
Mr. Chairman,
we don't want to create a dichotomy between the state level process and the lower level either, but
right.
Sorry.
I think the verbiage, if you look at section 1 on line 6, I think I'm fairly comfortable that individual or through an attorney or agent. I think agent would cover those situations. I would certainly hope so.
Okay. I would agree with you. I just want to make sure as long as we're in fixing this that we get it done. And
I think that'll cover it.
Further questions then from the committee? Seeing none, are there other proponents for House Bill 1059? Other proponents? Are there any opponents to House Bill 1059? Seeing none, then we will close to committee action and or discussion. We do have a pending... Or we do not pending, I guess, but
I would make that a pending motion to amend.
We have a motion to amend
59 FC.
1059. Is there a second? Second by Senator DeHuick. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is approved and adopted. So we are to House Bill 1059 as amended. Is there a motion? Yes, Senator Koskinen.
Mr. Chairman, I have some questions. I see this as being a real nightmare down the road if you have multi lessees on a piece of land. Which one would get to appeal? Would they get to appeal for the whole thing? Because we have a delay in when it's assessed and when it's taxed and the different years. I don't have any problem with the property. I mean, right now you have to be a resident. And when I first read it, I thought, well, I think I know where they're going with this bill, because if you're not a resident, you wouldn't be able to appeal and you're still the tax owner, and you wouldn't, I mean, so it makes sense to have the res or the property owner. But when you get in a taxpayer, I mean, there could be many taxpayers, and there's different calendar years, and in fact, the lessee may have a dispute with his landlord because he hasn't given a notification of cancellation. He could go in and appeal, and I just see all kinds of nightmares if you're going to have somebody that doesn't have a ongoing legal responsibility to start appealing taxes. I guess question: how do you resolve the difference if one lessee wants it appealed and one doesn't because it might affect his own personal property right across the fence? Because it is going to. It will affect all the property in that township or in that county.
Senator DeHuick, do you want to address that?
Well, I'll try to. I'm not sure I understand the concern. Remember, we're talking about not taxes. We're talking about assessed value of land. And I'm not sure I understand multiple lessees of a given piece of property, because you would only be able to assess, if you are the lessee, you would only be able to appeal on the land which is under the lease. So I guess I don't understand your concern.
If I have a quarter section that I own, but I lease it out to four different people, which one of those four, or could all four, appeal at different levels, and one want to go higher? Because it does affect your taxes. The assessment does affect your taxes in relationship of the value of your property to the surrounding property. And if the value of your property would go, for example, up, the rest of the neighboring or adjoining property, the taxes would go down.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Yes, Senator DeHue.
I guess that's true anytime an individual property owner chooses to appeal his assessed valuation, and that would be the case under our existing system in any event. But just so I understand the question, if you are leasing out 160 acres to four different people, by that do you mean you're leasing 40 acres to one person, 40 acres to another? Well, and then I'm going to revert back to my original response, and that is one lessee can only appeal the value on those 40 acres. He can't bring in to the appeal the remaining 120. Thank you. And so if there is disparity, if you have one out of the four challenging the assessed value on his 40 acres, and he's successful in lowering the value, the assessed value, I'm going to tell you that's not going to affect, for the current tax year, the remaining 120 acres. And it may well, for the succeeding tax, the assessment year, lower the value on the remaining 120 acres. But my suspicion is that wouldn't occur.
Senator Moore.
Thank you. I've got a question of Senator DeHue, if I might, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Senator DeHue, is an individual going to have to show proof that he or she is indeed leasing that particular land? Explain how that process works.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I had that question over in house tax as well. And let me, before we get into that, I just want to, it's been a while since I've looked at this bill. If you would look at line 8 and 9 on the first page, it's a definition of taxpayer, and I think it answers some of these questions, where it says, any lessee responsible for payment of taxes pursuant to the provisions of a lease shall be considered the taxpayer. And so that lessee, in Senator Koskinen's example, would have to provide evidence to the Director of Equalization that, in fact, pursuant to a lease arrangement with the owner, he is responsible for the payment of taxes. And he could do that in a number of different ways, I suppose. He could bring in his canceled check when he pays his taxes or whatever. But I guess I'm not terribly concerned. I don't see a boogeyman here, because it's certainly been my experience that most generally the directors of equalization are very much aware of who's leasing land in their county. And and what we're talking about here primarily is ag land. So I think we should, the directors can devise their own requirements as to what will satisfy them in terms of proving that, in fact, the lessee is responsible for the payment of the taxes. Does that answer your question?
Kind of.
Thank you.
Senator Koskinen.
Well, Mr. Chairman, well, that, I guess, maybe is even more troubling. If I got a section or a quarter of land, and that's how it's assessed, it's not broke up by 40 acre pieces. Right now it's not broke up. It's assessed for a whole quarter, and I've leased it out to four individuals, and in the lease they are required to pay the taxes. And now the one individual that has the lighter soil on a hilltop says this soil isn't as worth as much because I'm renting the poorer soil out of this quarter. I want you, the director of equalization, to reassess it. And so now the other three people that have the other four quarters are going to have to pay the higher tax, and the landowner is going to be out of the picture. His land is going to start being manipulated by one lessee, and I don't know if that's what we want to do. Where the landowner right now, we know who he is, we know where he lives, we know, I mean, he's responsible for it, but now you're going to give lessees the ability to start manipulating their hilltop because it's lighter soils, not quite the same soil types, and lower quality, and they'll have to start dividing these all up into smaller pieces. Do you understand what I'm saying? If they can actually assess by who's leasing that individual piece of land, or maybe even just maybe it's hunting rights. If he leases it for hunting rights, does he have the ability to have reassessed?
Senator Koskin, I certainly am not the proponent, but to the extent that I think I see where you're going, my experience with the assessment appeal process is that if it's assessed as a quarter and it's appealed by one of those four taxpayers, it will still be reassessed as a quarter, not as four or forties. Yes, it will go back to legal description, unless it has been parceled out by deed some other place, and then it will be assessed at that lower acre chunk. It's not in an appeal process. Frankly, I don't see many of these leases on 40-acre chunks to four different landowners in my neck of the woods. But if it would be more typical in my experience to see four undivided tenants on a single lease, where one of them, by the terms of the lease, is responsible for making the payment. Usually they're siblings or cousins or whatever it might be. But I don't think you're going to find a prejudice situation for the original landowner, because that's also my experience. Nobody comes in and appeals that their assessments are too low. I mean, theoretically it could happen, but I... Yes, Senator Koskin.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think this may be a situation where if I've lost the lease, do I have the opportunity to strike back at the landowner and say, I want to go back and have this assessed at a higher rate? I've lost the lease, but I still have 1 year, but I still have it for another year. I still have it for one more year because I haven't received notification in mail, so I have one more year's lease by our law that by September 15th, if we don't have the lease, we can continue.
Senator Koskin, that's only by terms of an oral lease, and by the virtue of the fact that it's oral, you wouldn't have a lease to show to the county that you are the person responsible for paying taxes, except by course of dealing over the last several years. So I don't think that's going to be an issue either. Because the only time that statute kicks in is if it's an oral lease on ag land.
Okay.
Otherwise, if it's written, then it contains a provision for notification, and then again, you would have a written lease. But you still have to prove to the county that it was assessed too low. The appeal process is the final safeguard in this process, not to mention that the landowner gets the notification. But Senator Koskin.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I agree with your assessment, but that's not what Senator DeHuick was saying, is that you would be able to assess by the piece of land that you have leased. So what is your... So you believe it would be assessed by the individual piece that you lease, or would the whole quarter be assessed?
Mr. Chairman,
do you choose to answer that question?
No. No. The assessed value of ag land or of property in general is not done in a chunk of 640 acres or a quarter section of 160 acres. It's done by a fairly complicated process of analyzing soil ratings on a given piece of property. And in fact, the assessor can identify assessed value for small acreages within 160 acre block. So it, in my opinion, the assessor certainly could go in and divide out 160 acres and place an assessed value on 40 acres based on the soil contained in those 40 acres, and can arrive at a value for those 40 acres. And that's exactly what you do when you appeal these cases, and most generally it's the owner who is challenging, look, on my ranch I've got Badland soil, which has probably the lowest soil rating in the state of South Dakota, but yet, and I've got it, and I'll show you on the maps of my ranch where it's situated on my ranch. And here I've got 2 acres of Badland soil. I got 4 acres down here, and I want the value on those small pieces of ground to be lowered. And that's the whole business of property tax appeals. I don't see it. I think Senator Bogue responded to the practicality of your situation where you got 4 people leasing 160 acres. And I think most generally those people, as Senator Bogue indicated, would be related in some fashion. But I don't see a serious problem developing with regard to that particular situation. It just escapes me, Mr. Chairman. Maybe I'm not awake yet this morning.
Well, Senator Hewitt, and to the extent I may have misspoke about the assessment process, I think you've educated us, but I think you still left out one final piece, and that is when the appeal is done and it's pinpointed that there may be a portion of any given identified legal tract of property that may be of less value, the new assessment notice will still come back out on the original legal definition. It will not be done on a smaller tract. So I think you're right, but I was also right to the extent that the new let's all have a hug.
Mr. Chairman, in point of fact, when you're challenging these on appeal, you end up at a assessed value per acre of the subject property. I mean, we take it down to, you know, its lowest unit. So, thank you.
Further comments or discussion on House Bill 1059 as amended? We do need a motion then, one way or another. Senator Kessel made a do pass motion. Is there a second? Second by Senator Diedrich. Is there any discussion on the do pass motion? Seeing none, all those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. And Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Hewitt?
Aye.
Kessel?
Aye.
That motion has received a majority vote of the committee, and 1059 will go to the floor, do pass as amended.